Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. On today's episode, I'm joined by my friend, Lindsay Schaefer. Lindsay shares her testimony about her journey with Lyme disease. She discusses how it felt going through many years of unanswered questions about her health, her journey to healing, and her grief that ultimately led her to understand God's character more. Lindsay and I also take the time to answer the questions many may ask themselves in their own health journey. Why hasn't God healed me yet? Will God miraculously heal me here on this side of heaven? We really dig deep into this conversation, and I pray that her testimony will be an encouragement to someone today. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. To our penultimate episode of our Mountains and Valley series, friends. Today I have with you a dear friend of mine, Lindsay Schaefer. Lindsay and I met through our church where her husband serves as a children and family pastor. Both she and her husband are such a blessing to not only me, but to many others because of their warm, generous, and hospitable hearts. Lindsay has a very special testimony to share with you all, and I pray that this will be an encouragement to someone who may need to hear this today. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. This is an honor. Thanks.
All right. Before we begin, could you just share a little bit more about yourself for our audience?
Yeah. So my name is Lindsay. I am newly into my 30s and stoked about it. But I am originally from the northern Los Angeles County area, out in California. Moved to Peoria, Illinois 2 years ago with my husband. My husband is the children and family pastor of our church. We've been married for a little over 3 years, and it's been awesome. But one thing we've really had to learn early is how to love each other in sickness and in health. Mm. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease back in 2018. So it's been about 4 years. I've been treating for about that time. But I actually contracted it 10 years before that. So it's been a lot of this, like, something's wrong with me, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. And just a really difficult journey to get there. And a lot of suffering through that. And then there have been many days where, like, my sweet husband has had to, like, pick me up out of bed, like, sections of time where I am just, yeah, very sick. Mm-hmm. And it's been really difficult. So the Lord has grown us in it, but it really has become a lot of, like a big part of who I am.
Yeah. So with your diagnosis, I mean, you were saying it kind of took you a while to be able to figure that out. How you can just walk us through your journey, when that started in terms of why you think it was difficult for them to diagnose it and who you went to. Because I know that some people who have autoimmune diseases that they typically go to like more functional health doctors. But you know, there's multiple ways I feel like that people are able to diagnose it. But you know, 10 years ago, I don't think that's really, that was really heard of, that people had Lyme's disease, or that that was really something that people could diagnose quickly. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah, so I contracted it in Honduras on a mission trip in 2008. And all I know is when I came back, I was just never the same. I was falling asleep all the time. I developed dyslexia as a teenager, and I had always been really, really smart, had loved to read, and suddenly reading was really hard. My athletic ability just like blew up. Like I had always been very, like, maybe not very, that's probably a little presumptuous to say, but I was adequate enough, played a sport, loved it. Probably also found my identity in that. So got really worked there, but that's not really the story we're talking about today. And I remember bringing it up to my mom and being like, hey, something's wrong. Like I can't focus during tests anymore and I don't know what's happening. And I was like, I'm just so tired all the time. But I mean, parents don't know what to do with that. They're like, you're a growing teenager. You're 16. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Why are you tired? You're too young to be tired. I hear people say that all the time.
Yeah.
And we don't really do anything about that. I still was able to live a very, very normal life at the time. I just had like weird tics and quirks. Oh, tics. That's pun not intended. and I didn't get the bullseye rash. Or maybe I did. I just know I was covered in bug bites. But also in California, Lyme disease was not even something that was known about. So even today, it's not even normally something that's tested for quickly because people don't believe that it is. There have since have been studies to show that it is found in California, but it's very different than the East Coast where doctors know what to do and they're going to put you on a couple rounds of an antibiotic and you should be relatively okay. But when you don't take care of it, immediately what happens is it burrows into your organs and it's just like a bacteria that attacks your body. And so I actually have what's called late stage diagnosis Lyme. So it's been in my heart. I lost my appendix to it, all of that. So, but I was okay really up until, I went to college and a couple things happened. And again, this isn't, we're not here to really talk medical, but there are a couple things that, happened that affected it. I had my wisdom teeth out and developed what are called cavitations in the bone because of that. My mom passed away when I, during my freshman year of college, and walking through the grief, really hurt my immune system. And then there actually was mold in the dorms that I lived in. And I've since found that I have a genetic mutation called HLA-DR. And that makes me susceptible. So while a healthy body can process mold and get rid of it, mine is just recycled in the body. And so I started to have more symptoms of depression. Couldn't think straight. I actually completely lost the ability to read for a while. I remember sitting in the library and just crying because I could not read the paragraph in front of me. I'd sat there for an hour. I was a bio major, wanted to be a nurse, and I was terrible at it because my brain just didn't work. And then, you know, things progressed. I ended up dropping out of school and I went to not a functional medicine doctor. I went to like a holistic naturopath kind of thing. I wouldn't even classify as naturopath. And I see God's hand in it. They were not the greatest, but I see how God used them. And I see his hand in providing for me during the time for what I needed. I had developed I started to show like some schizophrenia symptoms and things being really weird. And he was able to put me on some stuff that stopped that completely. And my consistent fear went away and all of that. I think the hardest thing during that time was the amount of people that told me I just needed to trust God more. And I remember just praying consistently and going, God, why do I feel like I'm losing my mind? Like, obviously this is, there's something wrong with me. And then a very sweet woman, who is the dean, at the university I was at, actually had taken me out to lunch and was like, hey, I don't think this is spiritual. I think this is actually physical, and I think you need to get some help. And so this doctor had helped with that. And then I saw them for a while. It was okay. I kept going back to the, like, the conventional medicine and going, hey, something's not right. And I think I would go probably once a year and tell them, like, I don't know what's going on, but this is not right. And they would just say, like, well, your mom died, so you need to go on anti-anxiety meds. And I was like, I just don't think that's right. Not because I have anything against psychiatric medicine. I think sometimes it is needed. But in my instance, I was like, I really am stayed on the Lord. Like, I don't think what I'm working through is anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, physically, I am exhausted. Like, I cannot... do the normal things. Like, there will be days I just can't get out of bed. And I remember, so I went to a Christian university. I was on chapel probation every semester. Now, part of that was the rebelliousness of my heart at the time, but the majority of it was getting out of bed in the morning was almost impossible for me. And I just thought I was lazy. And so I'm consistently confessing this before the Lord, like, please forgive me. I don't know why I can't do this. I'm like, please help me. And it's been actually something I've really had to unlearn is that I want to be sensitive to sin in my heart. That actually wasn't what was going on. And I ended up going on a missions trip to Slovakia and met a missionary there. We had worked with her for 7 weeks. Wonderful, incredible woman. And she, like, maybe a year or two after, she actually was diagnosed with Lyme. And she reached out and she was like, hey, I think you have Lyme. And I was like, you're wrong. And then I was, after I graduated, so I, my sister and I went, we traveled for 6 months and we studied in Israel, and it was amazing. It was like the healthiest I had been.
Yeah.
And then I started teaching at a school, a Christian school out in the Santa Clarita Valley. And a time when I was very zealous about the Lord, but really, really young. And so in my immaturity, definitely made a lot of mistakes during that time. But there was a woman, one of the moms there, who came up and she was like, I think you have Lyme disease. And I was like, you're super wrong. I was like, my roommate has Lyme disease. It's definitely not me. But it's just because I didn't have the pain.
Yeah.
That everyone with, that was like the thing is like, are you tired and do you have pain? And I was like, I don't have pain. And so, like, just, you know, just continued going back to the doctor. And I remember my roommate who had Lyme took me, and because I was like, I feel like they're not listening. And she went and looked at the this doctor at Kaiser, which is like a medical system, depending on in certain parts of the nation. And she wouldn't say what was wrong with me. And I was like, I feel like, and I was like in the best shape of my life. I had just come off of like hiking miles and miles a day from living in Israel. And my roommate just said, I know, like, just give us a guess. Give us what you think. And she raised her finger to her ear and spun it like, you know, when you're like, that person's crazy. And she said, I think it's in your head. And that crushed me.
Oh my gosh.
And there's been, like, that's enough. I've had to unlearn, like, am I a crazy person? I must just be nuts. I can't be trusted. Like, obviously I don't know what's best for my body because I'm wrong. And then I ended up seeing a functional medicine doctor. She helped me the best she could, and she was incredible. Like, truly a wonderful woman. And when I finally, the missionary, went, that was actually, my timeline's a little bit messed up, but that's when she reached out and was like, I think you have Lyme. And I was like, I think you're wrong. And she was like, please just get tested. So I reached out to her. I had done everything I could, like, did her protocol, ate the way I was supposed to do, whatever. And I wasn't getting better. And I, you know, reached out and said, hey, a friend of mine thinks that this could be it. Does this sound legitimate to you? Like, I don't know. This seems weird. And she was like, I can't help you with that, but I know of a specialist in San Diego, and he's amazing. Go to him. And that's actually the doctor who had, who diagnosed me. He had been an endocrinologist, some kind of super specific doctor. Yeah. I can't remember the name of right now. That's a Lyme brain thing, where you can't recall like normal words. He had been with UCLA for a really long time and then opened his own practice and been doing his own practice for 30 years. Mm. And very knowledgeable, very wonderful man. And he's the one that he found out I had heavy metal poisoning, mold, he didn't diagnose me with parasites. That's a lie. and Lyme. And yeah. I remember every test that he gave to me, he would say, you know, you're really good at being positive for it all. Mm. But these were also the first time I'd been positive for anything. Mm. Yeah. Every time I had had labs and labs done where I'm like, check my thyroid, check something. Yeah. And it always came back like, well, you're normal. And you're normal. And I just remember being so in despair and like, oh God, what? Like, why? Why is this happening? Like, this is so defeating. And then I got this diagnosis. And then my temptation was to find my hope in a label. And like, well, I finally know what it is. So now I know what to do. And I was dating my now husband at the time. And when I got the diagnosis, we cried. Mm. Because there really isn't a full-on cure for it. At least that's what I believed at the time. Now I do believe, I'm seeing, you can get into remission. It might come back, but you can live a normal life. I'm not there yet. But we had the conversation of like, I remember sitting down and being really straight and saying, you don't have to marry me. Like, because we were very serious at the time. And I was like, this is like, you can walk away and I will not hold it against you because this could affect me for the rest of my life. You want to do ministry. Mm-hmm. And you and I both know that marriage comes before ministry and I may take away from that. And like, what if I get sick in a climate that we're in and you have to move churches because of me? Like, I just don't know, like, is this what you want to do? And he proposed 2 months later.
Oh.
So he's the best person in the world, just saying. But that was a huge turning point in my life. And then I started treatment. I see God's hand. I still work for the same company that I worked for then. It's like become a really big corporation, I guess. I don't know how to define that, but, I work in the internet industry. I've been in it for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the executives has Lyme disease.
Wow.
And one of my bosses, her sister-in-law has Lyme disease. And immediately they were like, hey, we would love for you to take, you know, a 3-month leave and we'll pay like your cover. That's amazing. California is truly wonderful with disability leave. Like it was all covered by the state. They took such good care of me and that was just a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
So I started my treatment and it was really, really hard. I started to get better. We, got married. And my husband, he was a resident director at the same university I went to. Mm. That meant we lived in the dorms.
Yeah.
I moved back into the dorms and there was mold.
I'm
still actually recovering from that.
Wow.
So we've been married, again, like I said earlier, 3.5 years. I'm in a very different place than where I was then.
Mm-hmm.
But he jumped into having to be a caretaker.
Mm.
And I look at like the notes in my Bible. I have to say this without crying. But my notes in the Psalms from the time when I was in treatment and when like I could not see out of this because my quality of life was he would help me. I worked from home a lot of the time. My boss was super gracious and he would just help me get out of bed just to set up and bring me my computer so that way I could continue to work because we couldn't pay for treatment any other way. Some people... Lyme treatment is not covered by insurance. Mm. And unfortunately, once you get late stage diagnosis, Lyme, antibiotics, I mean, there's a lot of different, again, this isn't a medical thing. For me, that wasn't the right choice. So none of it's covered and I have to pay out of pocket. And God has been gracious and always provided. But that was our relationship. And he just was the caretaker to help me be able to survive, but we couldn't really do things. Mm-hmm. It was an incredibly isolating and difficult time.
You've mentioned a little bit of like some of the hardships of going through this journey have been, but what, when you were finally diagnosed or even in this journey, like what did that do to your faith? Like you've kind of mentioned a little bit of it, but do you mind expounding on that?
Yeah. It rocked my faith in some ways. Actually, I mean, I think losing my mom did that more. Mm. That made me really have to confront who I believed God to be. And when she passed away, I remember I was at a Christian university and lots of people are asking me like, oh, and my mom had worked there. So very public. I was getting like, you know, notes from people that were anonymous. And it was really kind, but also like, just put your name. Is fine. And I always would know like, oh wow, I'm getting really off track.
No, it's fine.
Like if it said like a sister in Christ, I was like, oh, sweet girl. Like that, very nice. And then when it was like a friend in Christ, I was like, you're just a guy that doesn't want me to think that you want to marry me. That was fine. I wasn't going to think that. Like, thank you. But it was very, very public. People would ask me questions about it regularly as I walked to class. Mm-hmm. When you're processing the death of someone so close to you, when you've watched the ultimate effect of sin in life, because I mean ultimately that's what we've been saved from, is death. And when you see that, it really rocks your world and is devastating. And I was being asked about it on the regular, and I really didn't get time like or process or space. Right. And I had very good friends that would redirect conversations and come in when people would say incredibly inappropriate things. Or even one of the pastors at our church now, we were friends back in, when I was in college. And he was like, hey, you know, people just mean well.
Yeah.
But I remember he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, I want to punch everyone in the face. But I got really good at just being like, oh, God is so good. Hmm. Like, he's so good. And I thought I believed that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. What I believed is, God, I actually deserved to have my mom, and how dare you take her? Mm-hmm. Like, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And while this may sound harsh to someone who is in the middle of that grieving process, God is God. Mm-hmm. And it took someone who ended up being the next dean of women. I don't know. I'll give her a shout out. Summer Martin absolutely was super integral in my spiritual walk, because she came and walked with me in that grief, even when it was hard, and asked me very hard questions and really challenged, like, but what do you actually believe about God? And helped expose that I had some wrong views of who God is. And that really prepared me though to go through a lot of physical loss.
Yeah.
Because my God is sovereign. Which, what does that mean? It means that he can change this if he wants to. But he's also loving. So he's not going to allow something to happen that wasn't for my ultimate good. We take that from Romans. And so I can bank on that.
Yeah.
And when I start to question him, I mean, you go to Job. Job is questioning God. And God comes out of the whirlwind and he's like, were you there? When I laid the foundation of the world, like the only reason my lungs still work and my heart still beats is because God says so. And then I've also learned he is wise. So he's smarter than me and he knows better than me. So if he loves me and knows better than me and he could change if he wanted to, then this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And if I was supposed to be somewhere else, I would be. And contentment is found in being thankful for where I am. And then that contentment leads to peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. If you read that passage in Philippians, I had a mentor tell me, if you don't know how to do what a verse says, look above and below it, and that will tell you how. you know, be anxious for nothing. And people will sit there and be like, well, I'm trying and I just can't. But, and it says, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Mm. And people forget that with thanksgiving part because mm-hmm. the supplication is going, God, I'm being honest about how I wish things were. I wish things were different. This is really, really hard. Mm. And the thanksgiving comes in and goes, but I know you're good. Yeah. Thank you for being good. Thank you for having me here. And we are called, like in James, to count it all joy when you suffer various trials, knowing mm-hmm. that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Yes. And so all has no exceptions. We don't get to, like, and I think somewhere else, I don't remember the reference, but give thanks in everything, give thanks. Mm-hmm. Everything. That's all things that we don't get to go like, hey, like, except for this thing. Because what that is saying is that, you know, God got distracted and like, oh, well, maybe he just forgot about this. And so I don't have to be thankful about this. Or he doesn't see it, or this was an accident and it slipped through. And so now I'm dealing with this. Yeah. But instead, and it is a hard thing to confront. And like, well, why would you allow this? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that in that it's just been easy to believe. I've really had to wrestle with these very intense truths that if you take them in a trite and face value way, they're really hard to swallow. Mm-hmm. But when we spend time looking at who God is, as we study him, we're able to take our eyes off of ourselves and look at him.
Yeah.
And we see how beautiful he is. And as we behold him, he transforms us in our suffering. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean I don't cry about this still.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not hard. Like, you look at the psalmist, the psalms are probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Because David is super honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think Psalm 88 and 89, like, they are dark.
Yeah.
I think at one point he even says, like, what is the point of life? Because everyone just dies. And that is a gross paraphrasing of it, but it's essentially what it says.
The gist of it. It's the 2022 version.
Yeah. The Lindsay Standard version. I don't recommend it. But then what the psalmist always does is he comes back to who God is. Mm-hmm. And he always remembers God's character. Mm-hmm. And you can hold this tension of being super transparent with God. I mean, he already knows the depths of your heart.
Right.
And really ache and cry out to him. And then you can also go, but I know you haven't forgotten me. Mm-hmm. And I know you're with me.
Yeah.
And even more recently, as I've struggled through this, I had someone say, like, think of a mental picture. And one that really resonated with me. We don't have kids of our own yet. I super hope to. That hasn't been what God has had for us yet. Yeah. We really hope to be able to have children. But I do have some nieces and nephews that I love so much. They're the best humans. But I think about if I was carrying one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like pouring. And it's storming outside. Mm. And I'm holding them at my chest. And they're scared. Mm. But it is better because I'm holding them.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the surroundings.
Right, yeah.
But that is how God is with me. Mm. Like, it doesn't necessarily change that I'm in super intense pain. Mm-hmm. And all I want to do is stop the pain or stop the deep nausea that comes from the treatment. Mm-hmm. Or even just like the loneliness. Mm-hmm. But God is with me and he's holding me. Mm-hmm. And I think, I want to say it's in Psalms where it talks about how, like, nope, it's Isaiah, I think. It could be either. Line brain. Where it talks about how, like, God holds our hand. And I imagine myself as like a 4-year-old little girl that's just like, hey, like, Abba, I'm here, like, holding your hand. Mm-hmm. And he is faithful to never let go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, though, we do experience feeling far from God. Mm-hmm. But he's promised he won't ever leave us. And it does make those times that we do feel him sweeter.
Yeah.
And you have to be so careful to not lean on those feelings and let those feelings be how you dictate how you view your suffering. because it's like, oh God, you feel so far. Mm-hmm. But what is true? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of been like a lot of the things that God has revealed towards me or towards to me over the last, I mean, I've been treating now for 4 years. So I've been dealing with this for 14 years. And sometimes I wonder like what my life would mm-hmm. be like. How would it be different? But ultimately I come back to, I wouldn't be who I am.
Right.
And I kind of remember what it was like to be healthy. I was still like a teenager and I have a couple of very clear memories of like, oh, that was so fun. It's so nice. And I'm getting really close to that, but now I'm trying to learn like, God, who do you have me to be now? And that's kind of the thing I'm wrestling through is like, who am I?
Yeah.
If I'm not fighting this anymore, which I'm not, I'm very close, not there yet. It's like, well, who am I? What do you have mm-hmm. for me to be? What do I even like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what hobbies do I want to have? What what ministries do I get to be a part of because I have the energy and the capability to actually be mm-hmm. present with people mm-hmm. and to be able to carry on, you know, conversations? I could not carry on conversations mm-hmm. before, which was really discouraging as an extrovert. Really, really hard. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I loved the analogy that you use of just God holding you, and like you showed me, so it was like close to your chest and everything, and it reminds me of and I've talked about this with one of the women from our church, of two of her favorite words, which has become two of my favorite words in the Bible, which is "but God." You know, those two words always remind me of saying like, okay, just like you said in the Psalms, like, okay, my life may seem like a whole mess right now, but God is still good, but God still has a plan, you know, but God is still in control of everything, and he's one that we can trust and put our hope in and faith in, and so I love that analogy. Thank you for sharing that.
Hi friends, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Lindsay to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. I am all for women knowing that they have a place in the body of Christ to further advance his kingdom, and I believe that this magazine really does encourage and inspire women to know that the gifts and talents God has given them is not by accident, but is by design. Y'all, you were created for God and by God. You were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance his kingdom. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when things feel so difficult to keep going. Our summer issue is currently sold out, but you can still purchase an annual subscription. It's already marked at 15% off the retail price, but if you use code DIS15, that's DIS15, you'll get an additional 15% off. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's SPLENDEUR mag, mag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Lindsay.
So the healing journey, you said that you're close to remission. We're praying that for you. What has that healing journey been like for you? How have you been able to figure out what your body responds well to or not, and what's that been like?
It's actually a really discouraging process. First, I do want to say health is not righteousness. There isn't a right way to do this. And whenever you get really attached to this is the only way, and I've seen that happen with people, like, you have to do this. Everyone is different. Also, like, it's also very easy when you've gotten better and you've starting to get answers and you start having this vision and you start seeing problems with all of the people that you love and you're like, hey, you need to get better. They're not ready for that. And your gospel of getting better is not actually true good news. God will take care of their health. Like, he will. And there's times to be like, hey, have you thought about ever getting tested for XYZ? But there isn't a necessarily right or wrong way. And I've just learned to like let God take care of his people. He loves them more than me.
Yeah.
For me, I was able to find a protocol that worked, because the one that I was doing before with the doctor in San Diego was helpful, but I kept falling back. And I found a couple accounts on the social medias and ended up learning a couple doctors there and learning from them. And that's where I found the protocol I'm on now. And I'm seeing a virtual doctor. She lives in Hawaii and is absolutely been a really good fit for me. But may not be a good fit for everyone.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, again, it's not righteousness. There's right. lots of different mm-hmm. ways, like where I would say, I mean, I wouldn't just say the Bible says, there's one way to Jesus.
Yeah.
The health is not that way.
Right.
And we have to be careful to not believe it as righteousness. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot be perfect. And also, there is no such thing as perfect health. Mm-hmm. When sin happened back in Genesis, that brought disease into the world. Mm-hmm. And I am experiencing the effects of disease.
Yeah.
And everyone will, though.
Yeah.
Because all of us are dying.
Yeah.
Some of us are doing it faster.
That's right.
And there is not a way to evade this curse completely. Now, there are things that can be better. And so you have to hold this, like, loosely. And my hope cannot be in this protocol making me better.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found one that worked for me. It was the CellCore protocol. I've been doing it for about 18 months. But I ended up contracting COVID back in May. We're recording this in August of 2022. And that really set me back.
Mm.
And so while I was supposed to only have two more rounds of, treatment for the actual like bacterias, cause I did like probably 6 to 9 months of prep to get me ready to actually treat Lyme and treat some of those other underlying issues that would allow me to actually be able to recover from Lyme. And I just don't know if that's what mm-hmm. is going to happen now. I responded very poorly to this last round. It was very, very difficult and very discouraging. But I'm going to talk with my doctor and we'll figure out a plan. I think the biggest thing I've had to learn is my timeline is not necessarily God's timeline.
Right. Yeah.
So I've had to let go of timelines altogether. And it is hard because, you know, you want people ask like, how are you doing? And how's your health?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think you're almost done with treatment? And I've had people say like, oh, I thought you were supposed to be done back in December.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought I was going to be.
Right.
And that is probably the most discouraging thing. Cause they're like, wait, but I thought you said this. And I did. And because I just want to give people hope, I guess, when they ask. Because it's not fun to say, like, where they're like, how's your day? It's not fun to hear, like, it's horrible and I am in so much pain.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm just exhausted. Because that sounds like complaining. So I'm trying to learn that, walk that line of being honest and not trying to just bolster people's feelings. Mm-hmm. But also not grumbling and complaining.
Yeah.
There has to be a line between the two. I don't know that I've totally found it yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard because when you're sharing, like, you're exhausted, you're just stating a fact. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think others may find it hard to hear that because we're so used to in America saying like, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. But you're really not. Like, we're not good at being honest with each other. And so when we're actually being honest, we feel somewhat ungrateful for, you know, like we should be in a better place. And so we also don't want to like bring other people down. So you're just telling them what they want to hear. And as you were saying, it's like, I know that you love them and everyone has great intentions, but you know, for you to like give them hope, it's not their hope to have, and they just want to walk alongside with you. And you know, I think it's okay for you to say like, oh, I'm hoping that maybe I'll be done in this timeline, but you know, why don't you just ask me how, like, just walk alongside, like you were saying, if you know someone who is going through this, like just some, cause I have a friend who has Lyme, but I am getting to know more and more people who have autoimmune diseases, but I sometimes feel awkward asking, you know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like, how do I actually be there for you, but not making that your identity? Because it's not. And I don't want to always ask you about that. I want to be able to ask you, like, well, how's your walk with the Lord? Like, how's your marriage? And, you know, so I think it's just a good lesson, I think, for us is, like, being honest is okay. And, and maybe you will catch yourself like grumbling or complaining, but then you can be like, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to complain. But most people also are like, you don't have to apologize. You know, it's okay that you're not in a great place and I'll be praying for you. Now I know your heart. Like now I know you're just, you need me to walk alongside you. So.
Oh yeah. I think that's wonderful. Actually, I think I'm going to steal that. I'm hoping. I normally will just say like, the plan is this and here's the plan and we'll see what happens. I think you actually touched on it. Part of it is the American culture.
Mm-hmm.
We're such like a happy, upbeat, you know, culture. If you ever compare like American fairy tales to British fairy tales, like we have completely different worldviews. Yes. Everyone in the British one dies.
Yeah.
And the end, everyone died. And the children are like, yes, this is normal. And all our children's stories are like, and then she was a princess and lived happily ever after and was immortal and never died. And they were just, they never experienced difficulty in marriage because they were just so in love. But that affects so much of like the DNA of our culture where people are like, no, you should be good.
Yeah.
Like everyone's good and you're only allowed like a little bit of time to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think even as a Christian culture, like it's in areas the American Christian culture can grow and is learning how to lament.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that's so beautifully, and I'm learning this now, like how do I lament in a godly way?
Yeah.
I'm learning this now. And as a church, we have to get better at this because people are suffering. I think we've seen that so much through the pandemic. How do we love people well in it?
Yeah.
And how do we say like, hey, how are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we not shy away when they're like, I'm not good.
Mm-hmm.
And not think like, oh, they're in sin or something, but just to be like, okay, like what can I do to love you?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not asking what can I do to love you, but it going, hey, can I stop by? I have your coffee order.
Mm-hmm.
Little things, I think, man, I'm going to just keep getting distracted because this is my life. The people that loved me the best when my mom passed away were, I remember someone showed up at my dorm room and she said, hey, I'm going to take your laundry.
Mm.
It was the people that didn't ask. The people that said, if you need anything, let me know.
Yeah.
When people are suffering, they honestly probably don't know.
No, yeah, that's so true.
But it was the people that were like, hey, I'm just dropping off cinnamon rolls. And I was like, what? And I remember just crying, being like, that's so kind. Like, you thought about me?
Yeah.
One anonymous note I did get that didn't creep me out. I remember I was like, again, freshman in college, super poor, like so poor, as most college students are.
Yeah.
And I remember I just needed to get some like hygiene things, like just normal, like toothbrush stuff, like needed to replace that, get some toothpaste. And I just needed the money for that. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. And I went and checked my mail and someone had put the exact amount of what I needed in like an anonymous note that was super sweet.
Wow.
And I think I know who it was, but I don't really know. I was like trying to compare handwritings because I don't know. That person just loved me in a really practical way.
Yeah.
And I really needed that.
Yeah.
And that actually has happened so many times. I remember one time I did not have enough to cover my medical bills. And I remember praying and saying, God, it's not like someone's going to send me a check in the mail. And no joke, like a week later, there was a check in my mail for $500. And I was like, what? And I was like, I have the worst faith ever. Lord, forgive me for being so foolish and selfish and self-absorbed and thinking that you were so small. Wait, God does what he wants.
Still good even in our selfishness.
He is reckless. He does what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get to sit and be in awe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of those things that you were touching on is that, you know, people are saying like, let me know how you can help. I think that's also something that when someone is not well anyway, like they're like, oh, what can I get for you? Like you said, like we don't know, or, you know, people may not know, but also another part of the culture is we don't know how to ask for help anyway. Like I think our minds kind of blank because we're like, I don't want you to do this for me. But it is those moments where just do it. You know, if this is an encouragement for anyone, this is, you know, it's great practical information for me as well, because I'm like, I just need to do it. it. I don't need to just say, let me know what I can get you. If I know that you like tea, I'm going to go get you some tea and go and drop it off. And so, yeah, I think it's like, let's help each other help each other.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Keep a note in your phone for the things that, and I steal this from the Lazy Genius. If you've never listened to her podcast, she's like my like aunt in my heart and we're best friends in my heart. She's a stranger. She definitely, and it's just like taught me so many practical things. She loves Jesus and has a podcast, but she taught me to keep a note of things when my friends mention stuff.
Yeah.
And the things that they like, and mm-hmm. keep that. So when things are hard, it's just like, oh, let me go pick that up.
Yeah.
It's just a practical way to love people. Another thing was, I remember a woman right before I got diagnosed, and I was living in an apartment, and she lived downstairs and came up, and I was working from home and was really sick. And she was like, can I just come in and sweep your floor?
Mm.
And the pride in me was like, I'm an adult. I can handle it. And I just had this, like, I think the Holy Spirit was like, simmer down, like, calm down and let her do it. And she looked at me, and I don't think she could tell the war that was being raged inside of me as mm-hmm. she's like cleaning my kitchen. Because mm-hmm. it made me feel like such a child.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, thank you for letting me serve you. It mm-hmm. takes humility. It's like, you don't even know in my heart that I'm not having humility, but thank you. And God used that in a really, like, man, just showed me how foolish I was because I really needed the help.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, just showing up and going, hey,
yeah,
can I do a chore for you?
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a lot of amazing things that have kind of happened even in your journey and how people have like come and support you even through your mother's death as well. What's like one of the mountains that you've seen through your journey with Lyme?
I would say it's the sweetness. Of God always providing. I remember when I was meeting with my doctor that I have now, and she sat and had, we did an hour and a half of my history. And she was like, let's piece this together. And she was like, you've been through the perfect storm mm-hmm. to make your immune system so weak and let Lyme just have a straight up party in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And where she was only seeing things getting worse, I look back and I see, but God did this
mm-hmm.
and he did this. And there are these little things that I didn't even know were affecting it. And I see his closeness
mm-hmm.
and his faithfulness, even when I have been straight up stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not my story. It's God's.
Yeah.
Like, God has redeemed and he has been faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been faithful to sanctify me in this. I know that there's so much that's still wrong with me, and I'll probably look back on this because we talked about this earlier. The internet's forever, and it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I look back to when I taught at SCCS and was like, man, said a lot of really stupid things, and I'll probably look back on this and be like, oh, this was so, Lindsay, you're so silly. But God is bigger than me. He's bigger than the words I say. He is faithful to those that hear what I've said, maybe have taken something wrong or believe something wrong about him. He is the ultimate defender of himself.
Yep. That's right.
And I know like your theme is mountains and valleys, but I feel like a more effective picture for me is a life raft. Like in the valley, as it's flooding, I still see God. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil because he's with me. And I see his hand where his rod has pulled me back and kept me safe from ledges where I could have just destroyed everything. My brother one time was in the Faroe Islands for a job, and he saw this shepherd on a cliff, and he had his little flock of sheep with him, and this one sheep saw a tuft of grass down the cliff, cliff. And he was going after it. And this sheep was going to die. And he was like, I watched this shepherd risk his life and like pull back this sheep, like an example of the rod and staff. And he was like, and that's how God is for us. He pursues us faithfully. Like, there's a reason that that's the picture in scripture.
Yeah.
And we're not around sheep a lot, so I think we forget it. It doesn't really fit in the American culture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that has really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as I've been in the valley, God has been my protection.
Amen.
And that is the mountain.
Mm-hmm. So one of the last things that we're going to talk about, which is a little bit of controversial on the church, in certain aspects of the church, I will say, I'll just ask the question, I guess, and we'll dig deeper into this. So what are some of the dangers that one may face if someone is expectant for God to heal or rid them of their disease of any sort, autoimmune or any kind of sickness?
Yeah. And this isn't to say that God doesn't do miracles.
Right.
Because I would be doing God a disservice. I would be lying about God if I said that.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, God is reckless and he does what he wants.
Yeah.
I have asked to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
The elders of our church have come. They've anointed me with oil, laid hands, and prayed for me.
Yeah.
God has not miraculously healed me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I still deal with these symptoms on a day-to-day basis. And maybe he will heal me with, you know, the gifts that he's given in this world. So, you know, medicine or whatever. But ultimately, in either scenario, to God be the glory.
Right.
I think we forget that science is not something that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity only continues to work because God says it does.
Mm-hmm.
Our cells are held together only because God says that they will be. Like he's the one who created these, you know, quote unquote laws that we live through.
Yeah.
And that are just expected in our life. So while I may go through my treatment and take it, it only works because God says that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, he is the one that determines that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at Paul, he says, like, three times I pleaded with the Lord that he would take this thorn away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And that passage goes on to say some super beautiful things. So I would look it up. I think it's in one of the Corinthians. If he never heals me, he's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
If he does, he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hold on to a promise that he isn't given to me.
Yeah.
Because the only promises I can hold to are what God has said about himself. And we find what God has said about himself in his word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go outside of what he said.
Yeah.
Now, God still might do that.
Mm-hmm.
He does miraculously heal people. There are people that have had cancer and then they do the scan again and it's gone.
Yeah.
My faith doesn't believe that doesn't happen. It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to wait on the Lord and wait on his direction. And I continue to pray that he would heal me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also trust that his path for me is better than what I would choose for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to glorify himself in this and make much of himself. And that's what matters.
Yeah.
But it is dangerous for me to go, but God will.
Yeah.
Who am I to say that?
Right.
I did not lay the foundation of the earth.
That's right.
I didn't create it. I mean, I could go through that whole, all of the end of Job of like, did you create the ostrich or the donkey or any of those things or like the giant beasts? Like I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I affect very little in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But God holds all of it together and the billions of people that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's intimately involved in all of their lives, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in some more intimate than others, but it's that common grace that really shouldn't be called common because it's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are people who have been told, such as yourself, where at one point they said, you just need to trust in God more, and that's why you're feeling this way. Like, you're going through all this fatigue or whatever because you're not trusting in God. Or on the other hand of it as well, saying like, you don't have enough faith and that's why God hasn't healed you yet. You and I know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. But what is some encouragement that you can give to someone who may be struggling with maybe their own faith in God because they've been told that, and that's why they believe maybe a wrong truth about who God is, and that's why, maybe that's why they're believing that they're not healed yet?
Yeah. I think that's where, well, first, we always want to be sensitive to sin. The psalmist says, like, search me, God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. We always want to be doing that. But at the same time, if we look in Job, we see that God is not karmic. He does not do things. He doesn't give us blessing because we do good things.
Mm-hmm.
He's not out to get us when we do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
There are natural consequences when we choose to live outside of what God has said is good. They're just natural things that happen. We get hurt because God said, don't do this. Like when a parent says, don't run into the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you get hit because you could get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
That's not because God is a party pooper and he's mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're redeemed, oh, he just has nothing but love.
Mm-hmm.
When he looks on you, he sees the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
And this is really serious stuff. Because believing that God is out to get you is a lie. God is not out to punish or smite his children.
Mm-hmm.
He will graciously allow us to taste the bitterness of our sin sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do anything wrong to get bit by a tick.
Yeah.
I was on a missions trip.
Yeah.
No, I think God really used it. He used it in my heart in a huge way. But it is very scary to believe that God is out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not who God is.
Yeah.
And we look in God's word to see who he is. And we look in Job. Job was considered righteous. God's word says that he was deemed righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And then his friends come out and his friends are like, well, maybe you did something wrong. And if you pick apart the book and you only read chapters at a time, you're going to get some wacky theology. But
mm-hmm.
when you read it as a whole and then you look to the end, you see God, all of that. It's just like God chucks all of that and goes, that's not how I work.
Yeah.
And Job never found out that Satan was out to get him. He never saw the behind the scenes where Satan comes before God and he's like, hey, this guy, like, how about I attack him? He won't worship you if I... destroy everything that you've given him.
Mm-hmm.
He never saw that. So we actually never got the reason. Mm-hmm. And so many of us, we never get the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got the why, I would probably trust in that instead of trusting in who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But just my caution to those who may be feeling like, well, God is just, he's punishing me and so I'm sick. We just don't see that in scripture.
Right.
And that's not who God is.
That's right.
But the best way to combat that is get in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my words truly don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're flat and they're fallible.
Mm-hmm.
And I say a lot of dumb stuff because I'm not very good at being quiet. But God's word is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. So that means we don't really use swords. But you know when you accidentally run your finger against a knife and it cuts you because it's really recently sharpened? Like scripture transforms personalities
mm-hmm.
and things that we go like, oh, this is how the way I am. Well, the Holy Spirit is in the business of transforming those things.
Yes.
And so if we're struggling believing things rightly about God, the only way you're going to truly fix that is by getting in to see what he says about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the things he's revealed. It's his letter to us of saying mm-hmm. like, this is who I am. You don't know me, but here.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you know me. Mm-hmm. And I've watched scripture absolutely transform me, because I did used to believe that I was sick or and suffered because of my, I was just wrong because mm-hmm. of my sin. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't say that's true.
Yeah.
But also people will say, if you have enough faith, then you'll be better. And I touched on this just a moment, or like I've touched on this some, but that's also workspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God doesn't promise my health. He doesn't promise my prosperity. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hold on to something he hasn't promised.
Yeah.
And that also is really self-centered of me mm-hmm. to go like, well, if I can do this, then this.
Yeah.
That's actually manifestation. And that's like, that's me pretending like I'm God.
Yeah.
Like, well, if I have enough of this, then God will do this.
Right.
I don't call the shots with God.
Mm-hmm.
I ask him
mm-hmm.
and he hears me
mm-hmm.
and he may do that, you know,
yeah.
heal me.
Yeah.
But it is dangerous to say like, well, if you did this, then
yeah.
God will.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're sharing this, and we both know obviously that there's been hurt from sayings like this to people. So we're sharing this mostly, again, to point you back to scripture so that you know the truth of who God is and what he's promised. And as you mentioned earlier too, it's like you're still praying for healing. You believe that he can, but you also are being wise in knowing mm-hmm. that God's plan is better. And as you said, his timeline is not your own timeline. And I'll share a brief story too of... when I was doing missions in the Philippines, my team and I went over to different people and we would ask them like, how can we pray for you? And there was one man that a small group of my teammates and I, we were at this one house and this man was on the ground and he only had one leg. And so he said, I want you to pray that my leg will grow back. And so again, who are we to say what God can and cannot do? Mm-hmm. We just prayed. And for me, I was already a little skeptical because I don't believe I have that gift. But even it's not even my gift. It's whatever God can bestow and what God can do. It's through his power and spirit that he can do miracles, not by any means of what I can do. But we prayed anyway and said, Lord, in your name, if it's your will, let this happen. And I opened my eyes and I was not shocked that the leg did not grow back. And I know that for some people, this is going to sound really strange anyway, that we were even asking for that. But the question that the man asked then, saying like, well, why didn't your God heal me? Why didn't your God like grow my leg back? And I think that he actually asked that so that we would be tripped up and that we would maybe see that God is not miraculous or he's not real because he didn't heal him. And so when he asked me that, I said, I don't know why your leg didn't grow back. But what I do know is that when you have faith in Jesus and you believe that he is your Lord and Savior, there will be ultimate healing in heaven. When we pass away and we have that relationship with him, we will have, I don't know if we'll have bodies, but we know that our souls are there. And we know that in the new heaven, new earth, mm-hmm. that we will have new bodies and there will be no sickness, no tears in heaven. So I'm holding to the promise that our bodies will be complete in heaven because sin is not there. So, you know, that was what I shared with him. I said, I don't know why, but I know that you will be complete in him if you put your trust in him and you will be in heaven with him. And that actually like struck a chord with him. He was like, huh, he didn't expect that answer. And I think that, you know, to share this with you all again, it's not to say God cannot heal you. It's good to ask, but putting our faith in something, as you said, like health is not righteousness. Putting our faith in our health is not like we're putting that above God. And what he wants is maybe to see and to show us through our sickness on earth is how we can draw closer to him. And as you were saying, like, it's like a life raft to cling on to him as our life raft going through this journey, and trusting that he knows best and that he will carry us through, that there is always a light at the end of the tunnel, even if we may not see healing here on earth, we will see it in heaven.
This world is not our home.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, perfect health doesn't exist. And if that's the only thing we're seeking on this earth, we're really missing the point that we're here, of being here.
Mm-hmm.
God has not saved us to have perfect health. It doesn't mean ignore treatment. It doesn't mean, like, you know, don't put a Band-Aid on the bleeding cut. Because our hope, my hope is the fact that this is not it.
Right.
It would be a huge bummer if it was. My hope is that someday I look at my Savior's face and I'm made new. And I see his faithfulness for all of my life. And the places I didn't even know. And then I can perfectly praise him. And then just continue to know who he is. Because I will be made new. This is just for today.
Thank you, Lindsay, for joining us on the show. But before we end us out, where can people find you?
I'm on the Insta. I think my, I don't even know what it is. Actually, it's okay. Out of the Limelight. Lime spelled like L-Y-M-E, like the disease. Out of the Limelight, you can reach me there. That's a place where I'm really just starting to talk more openly about this journey and what it's like, and we'll share more in detail of things that have just God has grown me in, like learning that, hey, your phone is a blessing, sometimes as a distraction from the pain, but nothing replaces scripture. And if you can't read it, listen to it, or have someone pray it over you. Like, it's easy to find just distraction and things. I don't know. I just want to get into more of that practicality of what God has taught me through that. If you want to hear more about the specifics, I'm very open about where I've gotten to where I am, the things that have helped. It hasn't been one thing. It's been a lot of things. And if you're just starting out and you just want someone to pray for you, I'm happy to. I know that this is, like, it's a really overwhelming and hard journey. So if you want to look me up there, that's fine
too. Yeah. Great. Yeah, and we just hope and pray that this was an encouragement to someone. And if this actually has you, as Lindsay said, just kind of questioning a little more or wanting to have more information, definitely reach out to her, because she is the best person I know to receive some of the information. So, yeah, thank you so much for joining the show, Lindsay.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I'm humbled.
Thanks so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. We pray that this episode serves you as a reminder that God is a good God who is always in control. Despite the brokenness we face in this world, God loves and cares for his children. As Lindsay said, he is not out to get you. We hope that this conversation and conversations to come may further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at soundofpastelkid for more of his work. That's soundofpastel, P-A-S-T-E-L, kid. Thank you, Lindsay, for joining the show and being so vulnerable about your journey with Lyme disease. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for joining us today. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.